Hey Potters, welcome to episode 215 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Welcome to the melting pot, by which I mean we are literally melting in a pot.
As a hurricane comes to hit our coast in a day or two. Woo!
2020...
It's confusing. It's weird.
I mean, we've had so many things happen this year, and then after the murder hornets, apparently suddenly we ended up having a plague of locusts.
Yes.
In Africa. We just had a cloud of flying ants in the UK that was apparently so dense that it came up on radar.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Tropical Storm Hannah, which is about to slam into Texas. We have Hurricane Douglas, which is apparently currently the most powerful storm on Earth, about to slam into Hawaii.
And we're still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yay! And we're halfway through the year. We still have another 5 months to go. Well, it's closer to 4 months now.
It's just, oh my gosh. This feels like the longest year ever. This year is 10 years long with all of the insanity that's been happening.
I told the lady at Joanne's today when I checked out, it's like, well, if quarantine's good for anything, it's been really good for crafting.
Yeah, that's about it. And gardening.
I've been getting a lot of crafting. That is true. Getting a lot of crafting and I guess you'd call it woodworking done.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, any type of crafts, really, because, I mean, they're staying busy, that's for sure.
But what I was working on for the past couple of weeks to get into cosplay updates.
Yes.
Was not really cosplay related, with the exception of I mostly worked on the product review that you guys are actually going to see here very, very shortly. But I took a short break from working on cosplay, mostly because mold making is very messy business, people. And the parts of my costume that I would be working on right now, I did not wish to get all mucky with whatever the heck Instamold is made of. That was all over my table, along with plaster and a bunch of other smelly chemicals, including E6000. So I took 2 weeks off from working on my cosplays, and I ended up staining some shelves. I have my nerd wall up now. I finished staining the planks of wood, and I attached the brackets and hung all of my shelving units, so... My little Triforce flag that you guys have seen in past episodes is hanging right in between the shelves with all my little nerdy cross-stitch pictures, and I need one more because I found out 11 is not the right number. It needs to be 12.
Need a nice round hole number.
Well, because originally I was going to put the shelves underneath the flag, and 11 would have been okay there because I had a very haiku-ish type setup underneath it. Well, I underestimated the height of my sofa, could not put the shelves underneath the Triforce flag, so I had to put two on each side, which means if I have 11, I have 5 and 6, and it's not symmetric. It needs to be symmetric. I can't stand it. No, it has to have another. I actually want to take another picture off the wall and temporarily stick it on the shelf, just so that both sides are even.
You can do that. Don't see why not.
It just doesn't, it's not themed. It doesn't match. It's not a nerdy, geeky picture. But that's okay. It would still add up.
Yes. It's temporary.
Yes. Yes, I did those. And I've got two more shelves that are actually drying right now as I am going through the staining process so that I can put my certificates on them. Because less holes in the wall is better, both for me and the landlord, because I have to fill them when we're done.
Right.
And it's much easier to like take down and put up different pictures at different times than it is to have to mess with putting nails in the wall and then making sure everything is. So I've been doing a lot of, you know, woodworking, home maintenance, working with my hands for the past couple of weeks, along with, you know, making molds.
Yay.
Ooh, that's cold.
It was in your fridge. What'd you expect?
Well, no, it's cold, like almost as if it had been in the freezer. Like, I need to check the temperature gauge on my fridge. I think that's a little colder than it should be. But yeah, that's what I've been working on. And of course, the next thing that I get to work with is this guy, which is Cast and Craft Resin. Because that be what Joanne sells. And this is actually the only casting resin that they had. They were out of everything else. So I guess everybody is spending pandemic, you know, casting things.
Mm-hmm.
because it was either that or the what do they call it? Sealant? It the protectant. It's the stuff you pour over tables and puzzles that sets
Oh, okay,
on
yeah.
top of it. It's not used for casting.
No, you don't want to
It
use that.
it's only used as a coating layer on top of things. You could use it for jewelry, maybe, but that would be
No.
about it. You don't use it for casting things.
Yeah,
So.
that stuff is way too flimsy even for jewelry reasons. Really, that has the one purpose and that one purpose only.
Yeah. And this stuff is also not inexpensive.
No.
This cost me more than the mold.
That sounds about right.
Even with a coupon, it still costs me more than the mold. But yeah, that's the fun I've been having.
Well, for me and my cosplay updates, I don't really have anything because I'm still not really working on cosplay. Shocking. But for those who are watching live right now, San Diego Comic-Con at Home is taking place this weekend, and there are costuming panels. We went ahead on our social media and linked to the panels that are occurring for the weekend, and they are from the Professional Costumers Guild. So they're actually getting movie and television costumers to host these panels, which is great. Yesterday it was a sci-fi panel and has somebody who worked on Star Wars. Today it was a Marvel panel, so it was all the Marvel movies. And then tomorrow I'm really looking forward to it. It's all about fantasy costume design with Colleen Atwood, who has done a ton of Tim Burton movies. She did stuff for Chicago for Snow White and the Huntsman, which I adore that movie because the costumes are amazing. The movie's horrible, the costumes are amazing. And it's all completely free, so you don't have to like sign up for a Vimeo account. Like, it's there for people to watch whenever they want. I don't know how long they're going to be up though, but they're definitely worth the hour and a half each one takes. So just make sure to check out the link that's on our Facebook, and I hopefully it relinked on Twitter properly. And then they're also holding their masquerade today too. What they're doing is they're uploading all the images on their Tumblr page, which I thought was kind of interesting. Everybody has a chance to look through them. You can experience the con that way. And then tomorrow, they're going to announce the winners of their masquerade. So that'll be interesting. And they're asking people just to kind of tag, Comic-Con at home, show off your cosplay, do all that fun stuff. They're sharing a lot of things for cosplay, which is kind of nice to see. So everybody's there in spirit. They're holding up these fun little sign that says start a line, end of the line, like you usually have whenever you're lining up for panels. Just cute little things like that. They even made that into t-shirts too that you can purchase.
I'm waiting for like the Dragon Con floor fabric t-shirts.
Who was it? Mark Meer has he's a voice actor who's done a number of video games and a lot of nerdy things, actually has a mask with the Marriott carpet. And it even says with apologies the Vulpin props.
Beautiful. I love it. That is the best.
That's how you know you're super nerdy for the cons and you miss the scene because you have the mask.
And speaking of other cons online, Gen Con will be online here in about a week. They've also got a costume masquerade. And they'll be having their contest. I think it's the second day of their convention. So if you have a chance, wander on over to their page, gencon.com, and get all the details over there. So all sorts of fun cosplay stuff going on online right now. People like really need their convention fix. I know I do.
Yeah, I think everyone does. And it is a little different. It is going to be weird this year. It just kind of is what it is. We make the best of the situation. And a lot of cons are embracing it, which is nice to see. Hopefully, they'll take this as a step to also, in the future, branch out and do more online content. Because while it's nice to see the stuff while you're there, if you're one of those few and billions of unfortunate people who can't get into Comic-Con because it is only 120,000 people max that they let in, it's nice to be able to be involved in it in some way.
Or even if you could go, if you could get your hands on a ticket, maybe you have to work, maybe you have a family, maybe somebody really close to you suddenly got sick and you just can't. Having an
Emergency.
online option is really great for those of us that just can't go, even if we did want to and could put the resources into it. I mean, even on years when they have it in person, I wouldn't mind chipping 5, $10 at them for an online pass, just so I could watch the con if they were going to just stream a bunch of it. That'd be great.
That's basically kind of how BlizzCon does it, is if you're not able to get in, you can purchase an online badge. And it was maybe like a fraction of the cost of the in-person badge, but it basically gave you access to everything online that you wanted to watch. You got to see all the panels, the opening events, got to see the demo. I mean, you got to see everything, which was great.
Plus, you can do the video on demand option. So mm-hmm. if there are panels that happen in a time zone that you're not awake for, I feel so bad for people, you know, overseas in the UK and even in Australia and such. A lot of our panels here happen at times when they're just not up. So it's really nice to have that as an option.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy that San Diego Comic-Con is putting all their stuff up on YouTube, because then we can watch it VOD style.
That'll be really nice.
I certainly plan to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what this weekend's going to be, in between taking work phone calls.
Yep. It'll be YouTube and Vimeo. All right. I believe that is all the cosplay updates that we have for now.
Yep.
So we will move into the main part of this episode. I have a lovely product review and pseudo tutorial for you guys on this lovely product here, which you guys saw last episode. This is Instamold, and I had all sorts of messy fun with this one. So here you go. Enjoy. Hey Potters, Amber here, and I have made a mess today for your entertainment pleasure. Today I had the wonderful experience of getting to review Instamold by Activa, which more or less is a mold-making powder. Add water, get mold. If only it were that quick and easy, but we'll get into that very shortly. It's a fairly easy product to use. There are instructions that do come in the box that I do highly recommend that you read before using this material, especially if you've never made molds before. But it is a very fine white powder. Place it in container, follow the instructions in terms of how much water that you need to add to the powder, depending on the strength of the mold that you would like to get. I just used a random used up yogurt cup that I very assiduously cleaned out, mixed the powder, mixed the water, used a popsicle stick, mixed it around, did not read the instructions carefully enough for how long I was supposed to mix it. You are supposed to mix the water and the powder together for 60 full seconds. For anybody who has cast with resin before, this should sound really familiar to you. That's because there is a chemical reaction that is taking place with the powder and the water and a little bit of heat and some other things. And you have to give that chemical reaction enough time to take place. I only mixed this for about 20 to 30 seconds, which is half as long as you were supposed to. And you can see in the picture, that is not a great sign either if you are looking to make a very smooth, solid cast. So, of course, lesson learned, but I did want to show that to you here, that this is what happens if you don't actually follow the instructions and just try and go off of user instinct. Here's the first mold that I made. Now, please do bear in mind that this is the one that I made without following the instructions first. Up until this point, I found the product really easy to use. It's very self-explanatory. Mix, pour, wait. According to the instructions, depending on the strength of the mold that you chose, it should take up to a maximum of about 12 minutes to set. So you can see what I did here. I chose a small box that I didn't need anymore. I lined it with wax paper because I did want to make sure that I can pull that mold back out, especially since this is meant to be a flexible mold. Instamold is specifically made to be flexible and that you don't necessarily have to use mold release with it. On a side note, Val and I have never figured out what this is actually made of. We can't really determine that even in the use of the product, and there doesn't seem to be any documentation online. So this is one of the cons, and I would highly urge Activa to list what this is made of on their box, especially for people that may have allergies. If anybody has allergies to common mold making materials, that would be medically necessary to know. The last thing I wanted to mention is in this picture, even though they say you don't have to use mold release with it, I did go ahead and use some petroleum jelly. This is just a little quartz crystal wand that I'm using as an example. And you can see that I generously slathered petroleum jelly on it just to make extra sure that I can get my casting out of that mold. You can see here the first results of not following instructions. Again, maximum of 12 minutes for this to set. This picture you see is 2 hours later, and it still has the consistency of grits. It was completely unusable, and I ended up having to carve my casting out of this mold, trash all of the material, and start over. So this is my second attempt in making a mold. This was after I properly followed the instructions and actually mixed it for 60 full seconds. Same process as last time, mix water and powder, pour into box with wax paper on it, generously slather casting original with mold release, or in this case petroleum jelly, and then let it sit. Remember, maximum of 12 minutes. This picture was taken after 12 hours, including refrigeration time. They tell you in the instructions that if you want to save the molds and keep them longer, that you can refrigerate them. Part of what that also does is it desiccates or dries out the mold, which makes it set faster. The one that you see in this picture, if you've ever had the lovely experience of eating flan, that is about the texture and the substance that these molds have when they are done. It really does feel like you are holding a mold of flan in your hand, or perhaps, if not flan, then gelatin jello. It has about that consistency too. Here you can see a closer look at the mold. This one actually turned out really well. I did use the strong mixture listed in the recipe book, which means that this should be fairly firm. In other words, I gave up a little bit of the flexibility, or at least that's what I was going for, so that the mold would not fall apart on me. Unfortunately, it was not necessarily all that firm or strong, as the first time I went to cast with it, it actually started breaking apart on me, and that was not quite the result I was looking for. So here you can see my process to do a test casting. I did use another Activa product. I used their Art Plaster, as I find that whenever you're doing trial runs on these types of products, it's best to stay within the same product line if you can help it. And also, I've used Art Plaster for a long time and it sets very quickly. It can set between 5 and 10 minutes. And then if you want maximum hardness, you let it sit 24, 48 hours. But the initial casting can be pulled out after a maximum of 10 minutes. You can see that first casting here. So this is what it looked like when I pulled the plaster out of the mold, and you can see, of course, there's still some plaster on the mold itself, which is perfectly fine. It is flexible enough that if you cast in a hard material like plaster, you can just flex the mold, and those bits of plaster will come right off. So those are not permanent stuck to the mold. This really actually surprisingly worked as advertised in that no mold release was needed for this. I did not use petroleum jelly on any part of this portion of the casting. So, you know, this really did work as advertised. However, you can see that in both the mold and the casting, there are a bunch of air bubbles. And I did see in the instructions for the mold that you are supposed to mix it with a whisk. I did not do that, and it's actually better, I think, that I did not, because if you mixed it with a whisk, you would actually introduce even more air bubbles into it, and I think that may be a bit of a problem if you're looking for a smooth casting. Here's a closer look at the casting that I actually pulled out. You can really see the air bubbles here, and those came directly from the mold. You know, I didn't do any other processing to this piece of plaster. So what I ended up having to do after I cast this one, I did have to basically cover the entire thing with spackling to alleviate all of those air holes, because no amount of sanding is going to make those go away, and it would also affect the structural integrity of the casting if I were using plaster on a consistent basis. Resin wouldn't have as much of a problem with it, but plaster in particular loses a bit of its integrity when you have all these air holes like this. But you can see it actually turned out to be a really good casting. Like I said, All in all, Art Plaster was really easy to use, and my bad for not following the instructions the first time. When I followed them the second time, it worked exactly as I expected it to. I will say that the mold does appear to be weak. Even using the strongest one-to-one proportion they give you in the recipe, the mold is basically still very, very delicate, and I have to be careful when I handle it, when I pull castings out of it, to make sure that it doesn't completely break all the way open and become useless. These molds are good for up to a week, according to Activa, if you keep it in the refrigerator and make sure that you keep it nice and dry. So I would expect that you probably can't rinse them out with water. I did note that if you choose to cast with multiple materials, say if you use resin and plaster, you have to have some way of cleaning out the mold between the two, because as I found out, when you cast with resin, if there is plaster left over in the mold, the plaster will adhere to whatever you cast after it. So, definitely not cool if you're looking for crystal clear castings. You're going to end up having to use the same material consistently instead of switching between them. But, all in all, for the price that I paid for this mold making product, I think it's worth the $12. Just be very careful that these are probably only going to be maybe two or three use molds at a time, so don't expect to get anything permanent out of this. But still, decent product. Also, please tell us what it's made of in case we're allergic to it. Hopefully that was useful for you guys. I made a mess, which I just threw out today, along with the rest of the mess, which was the newspaper that was underneath it.
It's mold making. It's a guaranteed 150% messy prospect, no matter how hard you try to not make it so.
It is, but you can actually, I have, like, here's one that actually turned
Yay.
out pretty well.
Yeah.
This was the first pull. I didn't mix the plaster very well. It was a little bit more chunky than I wanted, so there were
Oh,
air bubbles.
air bubbles.
Yeah, it didn't completely fill the mold, and that was my fault. It wasn't any, it wasn't any fault on the part of the mold. But, here's a raw one. You can see it's still a little bit raw there on the back. I need to sand that down. And then, just for fun, I burned two of my Mod Melt sticks, which I still have lying around, because I wanted to see if it would let you mold different materials, if it would work the same way, because thermoplastic is very different than plaster, since plaster doesn't really set with that much heat, whereas this stuff requires a lot of heat to melt it. And you see, it's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
It's a little bit raw, and that's just because you can't pour the whole stick out of the hot glue gun at once. It
No.
has to heat up a chunk and then you squirt it, and then heat up a chunk and then you squirt it, and it lather, rinse, repeat. So it kind of has this spirally appearance that you can't see on my webcam because of the glue just kind of drizzling out like frosting.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to cast with it, you'd probably get a boil bag that you use for candle wax, and you'd put the Mod Melt sticks into the boil bag and boil the whole thing at once and then just pour it in.
Pour it in.
Almost like making soap.
Yeah, I've only seen people use the mod melts just for small things. I mean, anything that's bigger than like a circle like this, you have to be really, really careful with because you have that
Start
weird
using
spar.
this.
Exactly. And even some of
Which
those might
incident?
be a little too big.
Some of them are. The large oval one here is
Yeah,
too big.
that's too big.
But the circle one right here
Yeah.
is actually just about the right size. Anything larger than that, no. And in fact, I ended up overmixing my plaster at first because they'll tell you, hey, just pour water into your mold and then pour it out, and that tells you how much you're supposed to put in there. No. Not really. So I purposefully mixed like as much plaster as I thought I would need and then some. So I actually just ended up molding a bunch of little gems with my leftover plaster. Because when you make cosplay, anything anime always has a ton of like these little gem-sized things everywhere, just flinging it up because that's how we do in anime and video games. So now I just have a bunch of little spare plastic gems that I can always just paint with enamels and use that way. I figure there's no sense in wasting extra material, especially since I know that for any sort of cosplay that I make, I can use them. I will find a way.
She will.
I will. Val is teaching me how to bling things up.
Yes. It's fun.
And in fact, I actually have a little gem, a circular gem mold.
Oh, nice.
Which you can get these at Michael's. They're $2.
They're cheap.
They're meant for soap.
Mm-hmm.
But I use them just as easily for standard casting with gems.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to use mold release on these. You can just push and they come out.
Yeah. I have a bunch of those, all of my Sailor Scout stuff. And I used to make all the accessories. They were soap molds.
Yep.
Because I was like, oh, that's the perfect shaped harp and exactly the right size that I need. Guess what? Soap mold.
Never be afraid, you guys, to MacGyver what you need in cosplay. If you're looking for something specific and it doesn't exist, don't be afraid to think outside the box, because it probably does exist, just not under the name you thought it did.
Yeah, just go down another aisle. There's weird stuff that's in the scrapbooking aisle, the wood making aisle, the soap making aisle, because you'll find what you need, guaranteed.
Candle making, too.
Candle making in particular, yeah.
Because you make molded candles, too.
A lot of my...
And they make it as well, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Just basically anything that you pour into a mold typically would work.
There's a bunch of that stuff also in the floral department, too.
Also very true. In fact, the floral department is where I looked for the resin first, because that's typically where they have the water clear.
Mm-hmm.
To make it look like you have water in the bottom of your vase.
Yes. They also have really nice, good... If you need dense foam... Just dense styrofoam for some reason or another. The floral department actually has some pretty good solid ones. It's really good for carving.
They do. Don't get it wet.
No, don't get it wet. That's the only caveat there.
It will disintegrate if you get it wet.
Mm.
And I know that from experience, having worked in a floral department. But yeah, I'm actually the only bad part about the Mod Melt one that I found out with the mold is that you can't use multiple different materials without somehow cleansing the mold.
Mm, yeah.
And I didn't want to pour water into it because I wasn't sure how well something that appears to be organic would handle water being poured into it.
Mm.
Because this has plaster embedded all in the front of it. Plaster dust. And that's because the last thing I cast with right before this was plaster.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a note, if you end up using Instamold for casting something, you need to use the same material over and over and over again. You can't double up like I did, because otherwise you'll have to cover it up with paint or something. I wanted to make a clear crystal because I want to make it light up.
Sure. Makes sense.
So that's why I wanted clear stuff. So I have the Cast and Craft resin, and I'm going to try a clear cast out of the mold before it disintegrates.
All the fingers crossed.
At least the instructions told me that I have 3 more days, but the instructions also lied about the setting time, so, you know, who knows?
Who knows? You may be good for another 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Maybe you got 2 months.
Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and the mold will have mold.
You never know. You don't know until you try.
Yeah, sadly the store did not have chrome paint. I was trying to get a can of chroming spray paint. Or automotive paint. And they had neither. So, sad panda is me. I cannot chrome my jewels yet.
Not yet, at least.
I'm going to keep looking. Somebody has to have chrome paint somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Preferably in a container that's like this big. I don't need a giant container of chroming. If I have to, I'll just spray paint it metallic silver. But I would really rather chrome it. So, hooray! I made a mess! But it was a useful mess, I hope, for you.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
I mean, molding and casting is definitely something people can do in quarantine. It's very compact. Mm-hmm. Doesn't take much space, even if it is messy. Doesn't take very many materials. And the end results are also very poor. And you can use them again and again and again and again and again until they disintegrate.
I'm going to echo Lester Candy's comment from earlier. Messy art is fun art.
It can be. Just do make sure that you wash your hands before you eat. Even though it says it's non-toxic, I would probably not want this in my food.
Still wash it. Just wash your hands. Be safe.
Yeah.
Play safe, kids.
I washed my hands between every single casting. Even if my hands didn't visibly have anything on them, just because the dust gets
Everywhere.
everywhere. And even just touching the raw casts leaves plaster dust on me. So, yeah. But very cool. If nothing else, I can use the casted crystals that I made out of plaster as placeholders so that I can get sizing right. Because generally when I use these, I make little foam bolsters for them or little cups that they sit in on the bottom so that it's very tightly held so it doesn't come out. So this will be really helpful for that because that way I get the sizing right. And who knows, I can always use these for when I don't need something to light up like during the daytime.
There you go.
Just have pretty crystals. And now that I have a handful of plaster jewels, I wanted to paint these with super glossy enamels and use them like rupees.
Good.
I
Good
just have
plan.
to make a little pouch for them and then seal them because these are really delicate. They look like they're gonna snap in half if I sneeze too hard. So I'm gonna use some hard coat Mod Podge and see if that'll give it some structural integrity.
It might. Depends.
But it's a lot easier than, paper crafting rupee
This is
or using
true.
acetate.
This is very true.
Amber's mold making adventures.
She's getting to experience all the things that I've been dealing with for decades. Next, it'll be
I just.
latex.
No. No. I cannot stand the smell of latex. I'm not allergic to it. I have latex gloves that I use when I'm prop making. But it smells terrible and it leaves an after smell that does not go away after you've washed your hands.
That's why you
I
don't use
cannot
your. You
stand
gotta
it.
use gloves, not latex gloves, because otherwise it'll stick to everything.
Clearly. And also, it makes your hands smell.
Yeah. Just get yourself some gloves, because you obviously don't want to be touching it while you're doing the pouring and the mixing. And then we'll get you some cool face stuff. You can make your own elf ears. We'll take you to the next level.
See, I have latex elf ears. In fact, my Arwen and my Deedlit ears are both latex, and I've had them forever from Eridani. And I actually don't like having to maintain them, especially because when you use spirit gum to put them on, you have to clean them to get it off, which is why I think that is the only appliance I want plastic. I want the plastic or the little, I think they're actually made of. They might be latex. They're latex or silicone. The slipover ones. I want the ones you don't have to maintain.
Probably the silicone ones then, because latex you always gotta maintain.
Yeah, I want the ones you don't have to clean spirit gum off of, especially because my sideburns do not like it and I'm not going to shave my sideburns. And no, you can't confiscate my pepper because I don't have any pepper.
On that
Of course, it may also help that I like molding and casting because it works with heat reactions and amber and fire.
Amber fire makes sense. It makes
As
loads of
always,
sense.
I'm so sad. This is going to be the one of the first years I have not fire spun
It's
at
okay though.
Crystal.
It is what it is. It'll be okay.
Am
You can
Amber is missing her fire right now.
Do lots of it next year.
I'll have to do double next year to make up for it.
Exactly. Just double up. It'll be fine.
Speaking of fire, if you would like to join in the conversation we've been having on social media on what your favorite Ghost Rider movie is, speaking of Nick Cage, or what you've been working on, maybe not molding and casting, but anything in the world of cosplay, maybe you've been watching different masquerades. Let us know what your favorite convention masquerade was. Any of these things can be found on our social media, which you can find here.
I also recently posted a question about cosplay myths because we want to do this on a future episode. So make sure to respond to that topic with your favorite cosplay myth and we'll research it. Yay! Okay.
Or you can email us podcast@cospod.org. Otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy, wear those masks, and we'll see you next time in episode 216. Bye-bye, everybody.